Welcome to Lunchtime Conversations with Nanette Weiser. With me today in studio is a dear friend of mine, Paul Tobley, Tobley Films. He is kind of like his superpower is making films about outrageous sports, and we're welcoming him. He's a Malibu, California-based production company. Paul, welcome to Radio St. Pete.
So glad to be here. Thank you, Nanette. Very kind of you, and I'm very excited.
Tell us a little bit about your journey from being a writer, a print writer, and getting your dream come true to be writing, producing, and directing films.
Well, everything that I'm doing now goes I'm thankful to my background as a journalist. When Amy, you and I wrote together and worked together at different magazines in San Diego, because everything is based on stories. Everything is based on a foundation of telling stories and the written word in some fashion or other. But basically, I just decided at some point that the writing life is very solitary. You know, you sit in a room, it's very you know, you have piles of notes, you've done your interviews, and then ultimately you're by yourself to create whatever that piece might be. And I really found, I tried a few small productions, and the collaborative process of filmmaking at any level just was more creative to me, because I might be the director, producer, but you're working with musicians, you're working with cameramen, you're working with all kinds of different people, and the editors being the critical component in this, who put a lot of the work you do together. So put all the work you do together. So I just found that that was kind of why I made the transition, is like being part of a team.
You know, and you've worked with Monster to produce a lot of this. Talk a little bit about that collaboration. And I know that you, did a lot of NASCAR. Blink of an Eye was an incredible, impactful, cinematic, an award-winning film. I just want to mention, folks, some of the other ones. Unchained, The Untold Story of Freestyle Motocross, that's another Emmy-winning Best Long Documentary 2018, and an ESPN 30 for 30 winning film, Hawaiian, The Legend of Eddie Aku. We're going to talk about Paul and his surfing passion. Fastest, Big Wave Hellman, Bloodline, and another one that caught our eye for our Florida friends, which is a fishing documentary with his pal in Key West. So walk us through the different films that you've done and that relationship with Monster as well.
Yeah, Monster is an interesting company. I couldn't be more grateful to them. I've been working with them for 15, 16 years. They function as, they're a company that is all about authenticity and giving back to the communities they're involved with. And I'm not saying they do it altruistically. They just strategically feel if you do the right thing by the sports that you're involved with and tell the right stories, it's good for everybody, particularly the sports that they support, not just handing a banner out or paying for a sponsorship. So I've been very, very fortunate that they function kind of like a studio, saying, hey, we make drinks, we distribute drinks, you make content, it's a good fit, you understand our brand. So they've supported many of these projects, and a lot of short form ones and long form ones. You mentioned Blink of an Eye, the NASCAR one, the story of Dale Earnhardt and Michael Waltrip. The stuff I do is, it's about some version of some intense sport as a rule. And, though of course I also made the movie The Vow, which is completely different, the feature film, but a fact-based story nonetheless. And, you know, it was like, with Blink, it's really about the friendship between two men. I have a new movie, actually, that just came out a week ago called Pay Dirt, The Story of Supercross. It just dropped on iTunes, Apple TV, YouTube, Amazon, the main streaming platforms. And that's about, called The Story of Supercross. And that's all about the sport of two guys on two wheels. And the idea is to talk about a sport that most, and it's based in, it's owned by the company Feld, which is based in Tampa, just outside of Tampa, actually.
Right, down in Parrish, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this, and you talk about this fact-based story. You love, you have lectured me many times. What's the arc? How are they transformed? Talk to our people who many, we've, you know, had the film festival here, the Sunscreen Film Festival and other ones here. People, there are a lot of potential filmmakers and people who live here. Talk to me about how you develop a story and what you look for.
Well, you know, there's an old saying in the net that you'll remember from the news business, which is if a dog bites man, who cares, but man bites dog, and you have it's interesting. And if you have that instinct, if something tells you, wait a second, this is interesting. On Blink of an Eye, the story of the relationship between Earnhardt and Waltrip, people remember Dale Earnhardt passing, but no, people don't remember the guy who won that day and how what their relationship was, because Earnhardt's presence was so huge. So it's about that something goes off in you and says, wow, there's more to this story. And there's a human element here. You don't need to be, in all of my films, and this is really the hallmark, at least this is what I attempt to do, is you do not need to be a fan or someone who knows that particular sport to enjoy the film, because I believe people care about people. You look at Unchained, the untold story of freestyle motocross. Most people don't know much about guys who are backflipping motorcycles. But it's not about that. Those are the characters telling a story of determination, of not giving up, of when you fall down, how you get back up. And then the visuals and what they do is pretty amazing. But the idea is to walk this line, and the people in the sport watch my films and go, wow, that's the sport that I know and love. And people who don't know it come out and go, wow, that I've walked into a world that I knew I knew nothing about, that now I understand who these people are, and something inspiring for you. One of my favorite films, and many of my films, about half a dozen, I partnered with Josh Brolin on as my executive producer and narrator. And he's very, very inspiring and does an amazing job when he narrates. And he talks about that, about going into a world and finding this passion and then getting the best filmmakers, the best editors, the best music, all the other pieces that go into the, when you're cooking, putting all these pieces together.
Well, a piece of what you do is also part of your love life and the wife of your two children, all grown up now as adults with their own careers. Let's talk a little bit about the relationship of you and Susan and how this has led to not just a wonderful loving partnership, but a wonderful creative award-winning partnership.
Yeah, it's actually fantastic. Look, it has its ups and downs. Working with your spouse, you know, can be, there are times when you disagree and it's hard to differentiate a conversation from work to your private life. But she brings a humanity to my sometimes my overly focused passion. You know, when we did Blink of an Eye is a good example. We did the opening sequence where we had it edited. And she was like, you guys are making a racing movie. I thought this was about a relationship. And it made us go back and retool things. So she comes in. She's part of the whole process. She'll be there for some of the interviews. But it's really bringing a reminder of the humanity. And she is not a sports fan. And she's not an extreme sports person, doesn't do that in her life. So even if she's not in the editing room or in the interview, she's in my mind thinking, I'm thinking, how would Susan relate to what I'm talking about? So because she needs to those extra sort of, you know, a dot and connecting dots in order to make the story universal and appeal to people.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I want to talk a little bit about your passion. Folks, Paul has surfed Tavarua. He is a big wave fanatic. You have two incredible movies that I've watched, Lion, the Legend of Eddie Aquaman, I didn't say that right, and then Big Wave Hellman. Tell us a little bit about how surfing has led you to these incredible stories.
I have to say, in a strange way, surfing has really been the foundation of my entire career. I started surfing when I was very young back in New York, and I watched the movie The Endless Summer when I was a little kid, and it inspired me to want to travel. And, you know, I grew up in a traditional home in New York, but I began what is, I guess, a non-traditional lifestyle, you know, because in those days, surfing was considered kind of a renegade activity. And, you know, that did lead eventually to me making the movie Hawaiian, The Legend of Eddie Aikau, which, as you mentioned, also won an Emmy Award. And that was really really meaningful because he was so inspiring. He's a Hawaiian guy who was a big wave surfer who it's really not about surfing and it's not even about Hawaii, even though that's the theme of it. It's about someone searching for their identity. Like I said, I look for some story that's universal. And in this case, you had a guy with family and brother who had a problem and even his own career and was kind of lost as a person, but it had to do with the fact that as a Hawaiian, his culture had been taken away from him. And so it was about the rediscovery of who he was and who was his destiny. And ultimately, he gave his life to help his fellow crew members after having an extraordinary life. And that movie was very meaningful. It also really underscored to me the importance when you tell these stories of doing it right. I mean, a lot of people in Hawaii really respect him, and he is a real cultural icon there, and a family. When people put their lives in your hand to tell that story, I had that, you know, tremendous sense of responsibility. And so it was a great lesson, And the movie to this day, it's great. When I go to Hawaii, a lot of people know I made that movie, and it still opened doors to get waves at the various beaches on the North Shore.
Absolutely. And I just want to point out, folks, this is a really funny little quinky dinky thing. Paul, Steve Hawk, and I met up at San Diego Magazine when we were fledgling journalists. They were much further along than I. Both of them surfed, and at that time we met a little 10-year-old named Tony Hawk. Do you remember that, Paul? Share with our listeners a little bit about Steve, who became editor of Surfer Magazine, a distinguished writer, and little Tony Hawk, who's now like could be, what is he, 50? I think he's 50.
Oh, at least, yeah, I'd say, yeah.
Tell our audience just a little bit about that backstory.
Well, I was the one of the editors of a weekly newspaper called the Del Mar News Press down in Del Mar, California. And occasionally I was working for UniNet at San Diego Magazine. And a skinny little kid walked in and said, I want to be a writer. What should I write about? And I said, well, what do you know about? Like, what do you have to know something to write about? And he said he was a surfer. I said, so write something about surfing. And in Del Mar, which your audience may or may not know, is a beautiful little seaside town, a lot of surfing, a lot of good waves around there. And so that began Steve's career. I gave him his first assignment, and then we became friends because I was a surfer and he was also a writer in the net. You were in that world. And we got to know the Hawk family, which at that time included a skinny little kid who was skateboarding. Little did we know we didn't know, of course, that he would go on to become truly a cultural cornerstone of youth culture and the sport of skateboarding to this day.
Extreme sports to the max. And, of course, Jack Ford, for those of you who didn't know, owned the Del Mar News Press, I think, Paul, back then.
That's right, Jack did. Yeah, one night, late at night, Betty Ford called looking for him. And I picked up the phone, and I was sitting at a desk, and, hi, is Jack there? And who's this? It's 11 o'clock at night. It's Betty. I'm looking for my son. So I didn't get to meet them, but, yeah, that's who it was.
Good times. Well, let's get back to the one of the reasons we called you is I want to talk about your partner. And this wonderful, I mean, I love fishing, Key West Fishing. Tell us about this little film that you made that is really a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really interesting for me. So there's a guy named Mitch Covington who works at Monster Energy. He's the senior director, senior executive in terms of all sports marketing on a global basis for the Monster Energy company, which is hundreds and hundreds of athletes from Formula One, MotoGP, to all the extreme sports, UFC, and so on. But he's also happens personally to be a fisherman, and he lives in Key West, and he came across a very human story about a guy who was a guide, but his backstory was he had been a heroin addict and an abuser of drugs. And he transferred that fanaticism to fishing, and he picked what I now have come to learn, a fish called the permit. You don't call it the permit fish because that would be redundant, which, of course, I did at first. The most difficult fish in fly fishing to catch. And maybe one of the most difficult fish in the world to catch. So we did a nice little film, about 20 minutes long, about the story of how someone goes through this arc. And also, it's like, what is this story about being a fisherman and what it takes to catch this type of fish? And for some, it was really interesting for me because I don't know anything about fishing. I don't think I've ever gone fishing, not seriously, that's for sure. So to meet someone and you know who's that passionate, he literally, there's something called a leader in the fishing line. And the leader is a piece of line that's attached to the hook. And I probably don't have that completely accurate. But it can't be more than 1 foot long because it is its own kind of filament. Well, instead of having to measure it every single time with a ruler when he's out on the water, this guy's dedication, he actually had a tattoo put on his leg with two little marks so he can measure it perfectly every time while he's out on the water. And he turned that fanaticism, which was, you know, he admits he was a full-on drug abuser, and he turned that into this passion for this fishing. In terms of his life, it gave him his wife, gave him his kid. And then we talk all about how you do this sport. And it was also beautiful. I mean, that's the other thing that was great about it, which you people down there know, which is different for me, being out on the water at sunrise in the Keys, seeing the patterns on the ocean and, you know, with the drone shot of showing that. And, you know, the other key thing was getting him and his family and his wife to talk about him and who he was. And, so it's a nice film. It's going to be coming out on something called Waypoint TV, which I had not heard of before, sometime in the next couple of weeks. And Waypoint is a channel of all outdoor sports. So and that is
great.
Available on Amazon, available on lots of other platforms. So it's a short film. It was just in the SoBe, South Beach Film Festival, and it was a finalist there, maybe in some other upcoming film festivals, probably the Newport Beach Film Festival. but it's getting distribution, and it's just a wonderful little story. It's called Life on the Line, which we thought was a good double entendre about his life is on the line. If he didn't fish, he says, you know, his personality, who knows what he might do. So it's sort of fishing as redemption, so it's a very human story, not different than any other recovery-type story, but told in a hopefully a cinematic, fun way.
What is next on your list? What is next on your list, and what would be, like, your dream project? I know you've got, like, a bunch of things, a bunch of people, things in the back of your mind, but what's next on the real list, and what would you like to get to?
That's a good question. I actually had decided for the first time to write a fictional screenplay. So
what?
I have begun writing. I've never been good at fiction. I've always been a based in fact sort of guy. But I found a producer who came to me with an idea and said, hey, I think I can raise the money to do a feature film in this particular world with certain characteristics based on the people that he has as financial advisors. And so because of that, he said, here's the idea. So it's not completely my idea. So I am trying and struggling. It's difficult. I'm a natural reporter where you get the facts, you find a way to move the facts around while keeping the integrity to the truth. So I'm working on a screenplay. It does relate to the world of surfing, and the world of travel, which I know a lot about. So it's kind of a based in reality show. But that's what I'm working on these days.
That's exciting, Paul. I wanted to ask you, now you met Channing Tatum way long ago, and you produced the dramatic feature film The Vow. Tell us a little bit about how that happened. It was really, won a lot of award, you know, winning network television movie, and it was with Rachel McAdams. How did you end up with that?
It's a crazy story. I was working for a while in fact-based films and taking fact-based stories and making television shows. And typically were murders and different stories like that. And I did a couple of those. We did one called about a woman named Fannie Kimball, who changed the course of the Civil War. Anyways, I got a tip from someone. Hey, there's this amazing story about a woman who fell in love, lost her memory, and fell back in love with this guy. And it became a feeding frenzy out here in Hollywood of who could get the rights to this story. So I hopped on a plane, flew to New Mexico, met the real life couple. And I turned out I was the first producer there, and 46 other producers came after me trying to get the rights to that story. And I was able to explain to them my philosophy of, you know, integrity and honesty to the story and truth to the story. And while I wasn't the most experienced of all these 46 producers, they eventually decided to give me the rights. So I got the rights, and then I hooked up with a producer named Roger Birnbaum, who has made about 120 films. He's, at one point, he was the head of MGM. He made Rain Man and on and on and on, if you look him up, Birnbaum. And he's a phenomenal guy. In fact, he saw my movie Blink of an Eye, the NASCAR movie, and we're developing that into a feature film as well. We have some writers now working on it. We're talking to different directors as well. So anyways, we all dealt with it. And making The Vow took 13 years to get that movie made. Very simple story, boy gets girl, loses boy, gets her back. But it was very complicated, dealing with the brain issues and how do you develop that in terms of characters. And there was a lot of things in the real life that didn't translate cinematically. In other words, when you take someone who loses their memory, what memory have they lost, and what's in that past that has now disappeared? And so the actual person, while a lovely, lovely person, her personal life wasn't that fascinating. And so we had to fictionalize a lot. The people are very happy, the real-life people who are in the movie, Kim and Cricket Carpenter. And so we did that. And we cast Rachel first. She was the star, because in Hollywood, you know, you need a bankable name, and she was and still, I think still is. And then the male character, we were all over the place. At one point, Bradley Cooper, before he broke big, was going to play that other role. And then there was a conflict, and then someone showed us some video of Channing Tatum on some movies that hadn't been released, and we went to him, and he said no, because that's not what I'm interested in. I want to do dramas. I want to do action films. It's not for me. And then we had a second meeting with him, and he finally said, okay, I'll do it. And he was kind of a nobody at the time. He was just sort of breaking out, and of course, he became the big star, and around then, and then the movie came out and did very, very well. And it's one of those movies that people remember to this day. It's played at Valentine's Day pretty often. And we were actually talking to Sony about a project, and we walked down the hallway recently, and there was the poster on the wall, and they said it was their most successful movie they've ever done.
How cool is that? Well, folks, if you've just joined me on Radio St. Pete, it's our lunchtime conversation. I'm your host, Annette Weiser. I'm talking with filmmaker, director, screenwriter, reporter, bon vivant, ex-surfer, not ex, like he's not surfing, like ex-wave, like the big wave guy, not afraid of anything. I want to mention your father for a minute, because your father was kind of a strong man in and of himself and an athlete. Tell us a little bit about that, Paul.
Well, the thing I got from my father, you know, he grew up in the Depression. He fought in World War II. He was the classic Jewish American who was living, you know, had to, you know, support himself and get at, you know, it was a different time. But he really taught, and it's something that even my whole family talks about to this day, about grit and determination and never giving up. You know, he was very determined, very ethical, worked extremely hard, and just had this quality of sort of, I wouldn't say salt of the earth, but more like a foundation of the earth. And different people in our family and people who came across him over the years have remembered him, because he was, and he instilled in you this sense of, like, the word no means go to work, be determined, be tough, be honorable, work hard, things will work out. So it's really his character that I think that I admire. And even my kids to this day, who met him, you know, only for a short time when they were younger, they remember him very vividly. And there's a gentleman who you and I had dinner with some months ago, a couple years ago now, who lives in the Tampa area. And he talked, Jamie Taker, he talked about my dad having met him. And they had a very powerful impact on a lot of people.
Well, Paul, it is a thrill to talk to you folks. Paul has a new film coming out, Paybert. Where can they see this, Paul?
You can see that on Apple TV, iTunes, YouTube, Amazon Prime. It's out now. It just came out this week. Pay Dirt, the story of Supercross, narrated by Josh Brolin, who's also an executive producer. And it really tells the story of two wheels and motorcycles. And Felton Entertainment was critical in their support and cooperation in making that film happen. So my hat's off to them. I really appreciate what they did for me.
Well, Paul, until we talk again, we thank you so much for taking time today, folks. You know, it's always wonderful to catch up with people who had a vision as a young person in their 20s. And then, like John Guiona, Mark Orwell, Paul Tobley, Steve Hawke, all of these people, they are now not even in their golden years. They're doing their best work. So, Paul, thank you very much. Tobley Films, read all about it in our blog. Paul, parting words for our listeners who may want to dabble in storytelling and filmmaking.
Go do it. Find the story. You know, it's a different world now. You can make a quality movie on your iPhone. You know, you can get going, start doing it, get your hands dirty. That's the best thing you can possibly do, and it will lead you down which path in the world of storytelling is meant for you. In other words, are you a producer? Are you a director? Are you a writer? Are you all those things? These days, they call it the predator, the producer, editor, writer is a title. Who are you? Go find out by actually going and doing it.
For Radio St. Pete, I'm your host, Annette Weiser. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Annette.